Hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network episode 104. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. And we've got multiple free plugins to check out this week. Curtis will be giving us a demo of one of them, and then we'll be talking about the details on the recently released Ableton 12 update. My name is Sun Warper, and with me today are Eon Lake and Curtis. So let's get right into the Mantra drone synth. Now, you brought this to the table, Curtis, so let's talk about it. What have you got for us today?
Hi everybody, that was a very cush start. I'm just amazed at how many people we got going on, and I'm pumped. Good afternoon everyone, good evening. We have Mantra first and foremost coming out of this. Let me bring this up so we can see. I'll bring up their page first so you can see it, and we can kind of look at where we're at. Beautiful free VST coming in from Mantra, who are, in my opinion, very underrated or new. I haven't heard much from them recently, but they have been really, really coming through. So let me bring you this so you can see. If I just share my screen, let's get rid of the adverts on this one. They're calling this here the Sir. Oh, thank you, Sam Walker, which is Hindi for tone. And it's essentially a free drone maker. And it's pretty insane. It's pretty fun. It's a precursor, or it's like a free light version of what has now released their Nada VST, which is going for $59. But basically, this takes Indian classical instrumentation and uses it to create drones, essentially, which is absolutely beautiful. It's based with deep micro tuning, and it's multi-sampled, and it comes from basically the instrumentation of Indian ragas. Excellent stuff. I was playing around with it on my live stream last week, and I instantly fell in love, for want of a better phrase, instantly fell in love with this thing.
I'm just looking on their website, and it looks like they have 6 free plugins.
Yes. So if you come back to their plugin, if I come up here,
if you go to instruments, and then there's a free section. It looks like they have a lot, and a lot of them are like light versions of full plugins, which I know you said Sir is as well. But yeah, look at that. Love the artwork.
The artwork plays a really key form in this as well, because they don't have normal parameters. They're very cryptic parameters. It's not like changing, like, you know, filter, or it's not like changing attack or ADSR or anything like that. It's all very cryptic, which means that you are not really knowing what you're doing, which really adds to some beautiful textures and tones. So yeah, they have these. They've got 6. They've got Rasa, UDWLE, very fancy that one, which is a death whistle. The Clavier, they've got Mirage, the Tenebrae, Sir is the new one. And they keep dropping these as precursors to their full VSTs.
Yeah, so let's check it out in 1 second. I know you've got a little demo popped up, but I just want to say hello to everybody in the chat. We've got smiling errors in the chat. I'm trying to see. There's a lot of talking, so, which we love. Smiling errors is in the chat. How's it going? We've also got Eon Lake pulling double duty. Eon Lake, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
There you go. We've got Lars in the chat. Says Mantra Instruments is freaking amazing. Survey Channel says, seems a hello is in order all around. Hello, Survey Channel. How are you? We've got Lars. I already went through Lars. Sorry, I'm on like 3 hours of sleep. I've had 3 hours every day since Monday. So sorry if I'm a little low energy, but we'll get through it. Mike is here. How's it going? I'm sure he's ready to talk Ableton. We're very excited to hear your thoughts on it. I think, Mike, you said you got it in the Discord, but correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. But yeah, when we get to Ableton, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it. Curtis, if you're ready, I know I always turn to you and then you start typing right when I start talking, but if you're ready,
these MNTRA people props for creating something called ultrasonic death whistle. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm as soon as this ends and I have a free second, I'm grabbing all of these free ones to check out. Yeah. It's like my first time on the computer and in the DAW in like 5 days, and I'm just going to grab all these and make chaos. But yeah, Curtis, are you ready to show a little demo?
Yeah. Shall I hit the button just so we don't put it up, put it away again? Yeah.
By all means.
So yeah, this is from a live stream from last week.
I'm cool. Sold.
Yep.
Is it?
I've just lost Sunwoofer.
Yeah. Oh, is it back. Polyphonic? I keep dropping. I don't know why. It says I've got fine internet, but for some reason you guys keep freezing, but I'm assuming it's on my end. Is it polyphonic though?
In this, Sir is not polyphonic. It is monophonic. Their other VSTs are, as far as I understand, the Death Whistle, for example, which Lars seems to really particularly love, is polyphonic. But this one is a drone. It makes sense, like, in that regard, because the instrumentation it's built on are basically monophonic in that regard. So yeah, but the beauty of it is that it really takes drone to its absolute essence, right? So take drone, like one simple tone or one simple sound, and then the parameters, as you could see there, that were being changing and moving all around, they create your textures, and that creates your harmonics, and it's beautiful in that regard. And because, like I say, because you don't quite know what it is you're changing, I think I said last week, it just throws all notions of what you should do out the window, and it's great for that. It's great for that.
That sounds good.
Yeah, like, share your take. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, the first thing that struck me was the harmonic overtones there are just gorgeous. You know, it's kind of like what I like about filter sweeps, but, you know, in a kind of swarm stacked sort of sense. I mean, you know, you had me a drone probably, but to be fair, because I'm a bit obsessed with drones at the moment. I've got one running in the background at the moment. Yeah, I very much like the sound of this. I like the fact that some of the controls seem to be kind of spatial effects tones, and some of them are more to do with the timbre, the actual sound itself. But I'm definitely going to be exploring this. And I like the look of the website as well, really, and the other things that they have. It's looks like a big toy box, really, isn't it?
That's a great way to describe it. Yeah, that's exactly what it seems like. And I love all the artwork. I know you said, Curtis, how it's kind of integral to the actual UI and stuff, but the artwork is so cool looking. I'm just like drawn to it. I just want to grab all of them and start seeing what I can make with them. But I really liked that the drones were perfect for just putting in the background of a song, you know, like have that do the fifth or something of the key, and just let that ring in the background, set that mood as you add other parts on top. And what I really want to do, and I don't know if you did it in your live stream, I didn't get to check it out, but there's a specific other free plugin I would want to put on that to see what would happen. I don't know if you could guess what it is, but
everybody drink. There we go. Everybody
I haven't
drink.
Said it. But I think that with all those harmonic changes and things like that, I think that would sound really cool to have just a really long decayed reverb on it and see what happens. Before we move on, though, let me just run through the rest of the chats we've got going on. Pat is also in the chat. Hey, Pat, how's it going? Mike says, yeah, he's been using Live 12 beta for a couple of months. Sounds like you've been really vibing with it, but let us know in the comments. I know he says this as well, though. Speaking of drones, Swarm Oscillator plus micro tuning. Oh, yeah, Live 12 can do that with Meld. Very cool. Survey Channel says the essence of drone. That's certainly what it sounds like when you listen to it. Yeah.
It's the subheading for the tagline.
Looks like Mike caught on though. Drown It in Supermassive. Exactly, my friend. Exactly. Yep, exactly.
That's what you need. It is awesome. They are really underrated. And I will say that the UI is really nice. It's really good. And obviously, it's very, very picturesque, as you were saying, very kind of like drawn to it. It does eat your CPU. I've found maybe it's, I was also live streaming. So that is a point. And I have found playing with it later that it does eat your CPU. You do have to create something.
You had your minimal arrangement running as well. Yeah.
Well, that's why you just run. Yeah. How many bases did you have? 16, 15?
I have.
Or did you go minimal and have 8?
Minimal 8, isn't it?
Yeah. I was very conservative last week, gentlemen. I'll have you know. I only had 14 tracks, and that's fine. And only
was that
14
racks, bass tracks okay. Or 14 tracks? Or 13 were bass and 1 was the drone synth.
No comment.
There we go.
Because you can record it, right?
That's what I was gonna say. You could just have a really long drone and then
record 10 minutes of it.
Render it. That's what I made a generative sample on the circuit for a video I was doing
three times.
Yeah, later I was like, you know, I might as well just export like a 10-minute run of this generative sequence and see what happens. And then now I'm gonna chop it up and do some crazy stuff with it. So yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is what you need. I chop it up, freeze it, do something with it, destroy it, put it smiling errors, put it through Simplon, for example. The world's your oyster with that. It's a really nice synth. It's completely free. It is limited to 9 presets. And I think it's built one of those, which is it's built for the presets in itself. I think if you go to Nada, which is the full version, which is 60 right. bucks right now, you get a lot more and you can play with a lot more. But you know, for a toy box, it's there. It's all you need in that regard. So yeah, all good on that front. I'd like to know what people think about that. I think if you flag up what Smiling Errors says, it works lovely as a drone, but it's more like a chuggy, irregular repeat pattern. What do you think about that? I'm not so sure. I don't know.
Well, you're the one with the experience on it, so I think you have to say what you think about that.
It's... I'd like a little bit of clarification on that first, like a chuggy, irregular repeat pattern. I know where you're coming from. I know what that's like. It does, once you set the parameters and you have your thing, it does have a limitation in that regard and what it does, I suppose. And it was the first time that I came back saying, okay, this could be a vignette as opposed to an actual track or something like that. But for example, taking that and using it as a base point for like sampling and resampling and resampling and chopping up and stuff, the sky's the limit in that regard. So it's not just about the drone. Yes, it's an essence of drone, but it's not just about the drone. You can do so much more with it in that regard, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking.
How is it?
A break
I'm sorry, Jan, like...
Get a break beat, stick an envelope follower on it, and punch holes in drone with it. And see what it sounds like. Then run that through a ping pong play and some saturation.
It's always about the envelope followers with you, isn't it?
That's the moment. It's either drone or rhythm.
It's all about the envelope followers. I like that.
I got a question for you, Curtis, about the synth or about the plugin. So sometimes when it comes to drones, I want to make more of like a calm drone that's more like a long drawn out violin or cello. Does it do that as well, or is it more of those like rich harmonic type of drones?
It's more about the rich harmonics. It's based on Indian traditional instrumentation in that regard. So, yeah, that it's all about the harmonics. It's all about it's built to manipulate those harmonics in that regard.
That's what I thought, and that's totally fine. I just was curious because there's many different tones of drones, let's say. So I just wanted to see what aspect we can cover with it. But I mean, it's a free synth. It doesn't hurt to just see what kind of happens and go from there. Survey Channel says it's very cool, but in practical terms, I don't think I'd use it in a track or anything. I can kind of see what he's saying about that. But me personally, like, I like to have kind of background sounds just drenched in reverb in the back that kind of create an atmosphere sometimes. So that's where I'm thinking of using it, and something like have the third or the fifth of a key and just kind of ring out, especially in the more ambient type songs. But even with drums, you could even sidechain it or envelope follower, like Eon Lake was saying, you could get some really interesting little sonics in the background that could do some cool stuff. Just to be fair, though, he did also say, I will have to check it out, to be fair. So there we go. Yeah.
Like another thing
frequency, you can do. Oh, I'm sorry, Eon Lake. Let me just read this from FCC.
Go on, him.
Yeah. FCC says, sounds like a sitar going through a space echo. I mean, that's never a bad thing. And yeah. Lars says, put isotope trash on it. All right, Eon Lake, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I was going to say, if you like the timbre of it, you could output it as a waveform. And then you can input that into things like Serum and apply it to a sine wave. So you apply the character of it to a different, completely different sound and waveform, and it gives you a lot of character on other waves, and can get you an interesting sound that's a lot more usable because it's a sine wave. So you can use some sort of templates.
This man's brilliant. That's why you're here, Eon Lake. Those nuggets of wisdom.
Absolute genius. I mean, that is, where else on the internet are you going to get such wisdom than Audio Nautic? Eh?
Maybe where I got it from, but yeah.
Survey Channel says, there you go, Eon Lake. And Smiling Air says, the low end is glorious, high end runs wild with harmonics, the mid is very mid. And I like this one. This is what I would probably go with. Survey Channel says, run it through a big muff pedal. Yeah. And yes, yeah. Ross says, big muff is always a correct answer. Yeah, I have one.
Somewhere.
There's a bunch. I got to set up the pedals on the aux channel of my mixer. And that one's definitely going in there.
There we go.
The chaos sections.
That could be fun. Yeah. What more chaos could you want? But yeah, go check out Mantra. They're great. They're very underrated. They're growing. Thanks to Lars for sending the death whistle my way first and foremost. And that got me onto Cert. And
I'm just going to put the shop link in the chat.
Yeah, put it in there.
You want to open a new tab?
They also have a wonderful plugin called Hanoi, which I really want to get my hands on for obvious reasons. Sounds of Vietnam. They're just great. So yeah, go check them out. They're good fun. Play around, experiment, even if it is for just an evening or just a session, just to try something new. Box of crazy toys, as they say. So yeah, all good on that front. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. It is the wibbly wobbly time. It is the wibbly wobbly time, and we've got to make sure, we've got to vocalize that, we've got to acknowledge that. And I think we're on wibbly wobbly time for the next couple of weeks until Europe catches up. But thank you for being here. It was amazing for everyone on the American side of the Atlantic. It's an hour later. I hope you're enjoying your lunch. And all the VSTs we're talking about today are completely free, and they're not sponsored, because this show is brought to us by our patrons. And thank you ever so much for your continued support as this goes. We are here because of you, and we couldn't thank you enough every week. I hope you're enjoying FCC's new album. Patrons got it a couple of days early on YouTube, on the Audio Nautic Records channel. If you like what we do, I'm going to speak and try and share my screen at the same time here. If you like what we do, consider becoming
a patron. I'll share it.
There you go, brother. Thank you. Teamwork. That's what we do. How we do it, bro. Yes. If you like what we do and you want to see more, you want to get some behind-the-scenes stuff, you want to get some early access, you want to support us, you can by heading over to patreon.com/audionautic. And I did get the URL right this week, and I'm very happy about that. I usually get it wrong.
Way to go, buddy. Way to go.
Yeah. Sam Wolf, what do you get for becoming a patron?
Well, you get a lot of things depending on the tier, but you get to come on the show. You get also get to join our Starstream extra podcasts that we do. It's really more of a hangout with all of the patrons. And then we have Discord channel for the patrons where we talk all kinds of stuff. And then, as Curtis mentioned, early access for visualizers of all the music that we're doing, which the recent release is from FCC. I see he added it, so I'm going to pop it up right here. FCC Frequency Control Center just dropped an awesome new ambient album. It's kind of a Boards of Canada style synths meet long form ambient meditations, 4 tracks. And we'll actually have him on next week to talk about sound design and how he does his sort of sounds. He makes some really tape-worn sounding synths in a DAW. And so we're going to focus on that. But if you have any questions, post it in the Patreon chat on the Discord, and we'll bring them up to him when we're talking live on the show. And I also just want to mention on the Discord for everyone, patrons and just fans and friends alike. We're doing a challenge, the over under five. So just make a track out of your normal track length. So whatever your normal comfort zone is, like for me personally, I typically make songs that are 2 to 4 minutes long and can't get out of that. And so I'm going to shoot to make, I could just do 6 minutes. I could do 5 minutes and 1 second, depending on this, the rules here, but I'm going to go for 10 minutes. And the due date on the Patreon Works in Progress is, that's the channel on it, is March 27th. And yeah, Curtis, you have something to say? Go ahead.
No, I remember that at that point I was waiting for the deadline because I have to start my track and I have to get it done by the 27th.
I do too. Don't worry. And yeah, me. I do too. I'm sure Eon like does too, but maybe he's been making a short 1 minute drone. You know,
That's why I went for a short one as well. You see.
Yep. There you go. Yeah. If you want to join, just head to the Discord. I believe the link is in the description, but sometimes when we schedule these podcasts for the live stream, not all of the info gets in the description, but it will be after the show ends and it will be in the show notes if you're on Apple and Spotify. And if you are over there, consider giving us a rating. It helps a ton. We're always trying to reach new eyes and ears, and it's very appreciative. Curtis, anything you want to add, or shall we get into the next topic? Actually, I want to share this one from Survey Channel real quick. I think I'll try for a 30-second banger. There you go. Yeah, just the one caveat, and it's not a caveat, but if you want to do one of these, it would help just if you could comment on the Discord if you're doing over or under, because I'm making a list just for all that, and we're figuring out a couple things. But March 27th, and if you do want to do it, just post it in the post in the Works in Progress page on the Discord or server. That you want to do it over or under five, and then by March 27th, post your track.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Eon Lake? Where are you at with yours? A 1 minute, a 30-second banger? Is that what we're going for?
All very theoretical at the moment. Yeah, but it's going to be, I think, under 3.5 minutes is the target for me.
Okay.
I like that.
I'm shooting for 10, and I was going to do shoegaze, but I don't know if I'm going to have the time for all the instruments, so I might do something with that drone synth.
That'd be fun. There you go. Yeah. That's the beauty of long form. You can call a drone and you can just have that going for a long time.
Well, no, I want to do something more than just a drone, but I mean, I think I might use that as the basis and to download it, see what happens, and try to turn it into at least 5 minutes and 1 second.
Drone orchestra. That's what you want.
There we go. Yeah. There we go.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
The struggle for me will be to keep it. My longest track is 20 minutes. And so I'm going to try and keep it. I'm going to try for a minute and a half, I think, because that's going to be a challenge for me. Minute and a half. And I've got it can't just be messy. It's got to fit like normal structure. Like I go for, like, it's got to have that build up and that thing. Minute and a half. We'll see. I did it once upon a time. I'm not sure if we can do it twice.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned structure, though, because that's the thing. What the impetus of all of this was, Abby, who I believe is in the chat. Sorry, Abby, I saw your comment, and then there it is. Abby, what's going on? Welcome. But Abby and Curtis were talking about trying to create shorter songs because they typically go over 8-9 minutes or whatever. And it just made me thinking, I was asking them, like, how do you do that? Because I could never get over maybe 4 minutes tops. So we were just talking and it got us to think about that. So the goal here is to try and, first of all, work out of your comfort zone, but also try to use the structures you're used to, the way you format things, and figure out how can I bring that into a different length, a different format. That's the goal here. You can do whatever you want. If you want to just throw a song into Paul Stretch, or like Ross says, add vocals. I've done that before for one of my tracks. Whatever you want to do, go for it. As long as it's over or under five, it's all good. And this gave me an idea from Smiling Ears. Drone for 3 minutes, punk outro for 30. I'm wondering if I could do kind of that, like, My Bloody Valentine, just swell those distorted guitars up near the end and just become this symphony of chaos or something. We'll see. I don't know. The sky's the limit when it's theoretical, right, Eon Lake?
Yeah, I mean, you could start with the lightest, most beautiful sound you can think of and try and grab
your voice
over that time to be the most hideous, distorted sound, just gradually.
Yeah, there we go. Great. There we go. All right, well, that's the over under. Curtis, we've got some more free plugins to check out. So what have you got for us now?
Well, this actually comes from you in the sense that you put it in the docket, but I'm introducing because I played around with it. Jacob Collier's new free plugin from Native Instruments, which again Lars probably has because I believe he has that in his own world if he has a machine. So basically, this plugin stems from Jacob Collier himself, one of the music producer. It's a whole family of music producers, isn't it, really? Because Rachel also does that as well. So basically, throughout a recent tour, he went and captured audience sounds and turned them into a choir, which is now a free VST, which you can get through Native Access. It blends sounds captured from different cities, and you can add. Apparently, you can add unique percussion with stomps, claps, and snaps, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the one thing that you put in here, which I've had to struggle with, is to record your own custom XY pad motions and add depth with polyphonic aftertouch and thought. That might be a nice thing there. Haven't experienced that myself, but yeah, that's the choir. So, all right, do you want to play the little demo I've got here?
I didn't want to do it in case you were trying to do it, so.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So here we have a beautiful control key. We have some crocodile, could be an alligator. We never know. And this is Jacob Collier. Let's play just a little bit of this.
What's up, everybody? My name is Jacob Collier. This is Jethro the Crocodile. And we are here today to introduce to you the Jacob.
There you go.
We're getting some echo there. I don't know if you guys are getting that.
It's going through my speakers as well. Sorry about
that. That's why. There we go.
Let me bring it back.
Instrument. So I've spent the last few years touring all around the world, playing shows in all corners of the globe. Not that there are many corners, but that's another story. One of my favorite parts of the whole experience has been the ever-expanding evolution of the audience choir. So the idea that I stand at the front of the stage and I conduct my audience polyphonically across many different chords, scapes, keys, and sound worlds. And over the course of this experience, one thing I was constantly craving.
I really like the concept, the novelty of the concept. Now, I haven't been able to check out the actual execution you did, and I want to hear your take, but the idea is just really cool, capturing all these different kinds of sounds and choir things and stuff like that, and just creating a plugin out of it. It's very interesting. So what do you think the actual application, what do you think about it?
I want to hear Eon Lake first, because I've played with this, so I'm biased.
Okay. I would say the opposite, but so I'm new to this guy. He's idiosyncratic, isn't he? Seems like a nice chap, though.
Well, Smiley here says he is lively.
He is lively, yeah.
Also, the guy with perfect pitch and puppy enthusiasm. So there you go.
That's a hell of a combination. I like it as an idea. I think it's very interesting, and I can understand why someone would want to do it. But I look to Curtis because I'm thinking, I think there's a bit of a trend in things like modular where things are intellectually very interesting in the way that sound is produced, but the actual result is a bit, that's really as an intellectual activity, that's very interesting, but as a sound to move people with, it's a bit, you know, falls short. And I wonder if this would fall into that category, if it ends up being particularly useful. And now that may just mean, like a lot of things, that it depends on your creativity and how flexible your thinking is, and you know, but maybe I'm not particularly flexible. I can't think of much I would do with this in a real context other than mess around and try and have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying for sure. I think that's why I want to hear from Curtis, because, did I freeze?
Yeah. No, it's cool. I maintain an open mind, though, but like you, I'd like to know what comes out of a play session.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I keep freezing, so I don't know if I'm freezing for you guys. The concept of it sounds very interesting, but I want to hear from Curtis about the actual application. Just Curtis, really quick, I just want to run through a couple of chats. Lars says, fun fact, I haven't grabbed this one yet. That is the shocker of the episode. Wow. Survey Channel says, this rings as gimmicky to me. I mean, is it a gimmick, though, if it's free? I don't know. I guess it could still be, but it's free, so you're able to just if you want, grab it or just forget about it, you know? So either way, but I get what you're saying. It sounds more conceptual to me, you know, like it's like, oh, we could do this. We can do this. We can get all these different sounds and blend it together. And how does it turn out? Well, we'll find out with Curtis, but real quick, a couple more. Lars says, Eon Lake just summed up most of what I make of it, or most of what I make. Sorry.
I was not talking about Lars's output.
Couple more chats, okay. And then we'll get to Curtis. Ross says, every time I get excited about vocal VSTs, they always let me down. Omnia Choir look great, but doesn't really work for me yet. Survey Channel says, but I'm a cynic. FCC says, not sure I'd use this kind of sound, but maybe that's just my style taste. I feel like I saw that a bit on the internet too, when I was looking up the synth. A lot of people were saying, like, looks cool, but doesn't seem like my thing. So Curtis, you played with it. What's your take?
It's not a short answer to this one. And it really depends on what is it.
You like your songs. It's not a short answer.
Long form, gentlemen. Buckle
over
up.
Under no. Five.
If you are FCC and you're sound designing, if you're Eon Lake and you're building drones, if you are Lars and you are absolutely destroying sound and creating new things from it, then I don't think it's the VST for you. It doesn't do cinematic choir very well. And it's very bland in what it can do. And even the dynamics is very bland in what it can do. As a standalone choir VST, which in theory is what this is for, it's not very good at that, right? It is, but, and there's a big but here. I was going to say something else.
Did you just cancel our PG rating right there?
I stopped myself on this occasion, so we're all good.
Got the timestamp. I'm going to check. I don't believe you.
People in the comments, if I remove the PG rating of this show, please let us know. I think I'm okay. But if you are using native instruments and you are getting into that kind of thing, it looks to be good for trap and it looks to be good for drill music specifically, which use a lot of choir sounds and specifically not very high quality choir sounds. So if you're looking at derivatives from hip hop and you're making beats in that regard, it's pretty good at that. And that, if you're trying to make that sound, that is what you're good for. And it does do that. I made a little drill trap beat with some of the kids at school, and it works for that. And it is good at that. And then with a little bit of affecting, you know, a little bit of saturation, a little bit of reverb, it's really nice. If you are going to play with it, it's really good. On its own, nada. It's not going to be in your film score. It's not going to be in your in an underscore or anything like that. But if you are looking to get a specific sound from modern music and beat making, it does work in that regard.
What about with enough super massive on top?
Yeah,
well,
I mean, yeah, the default question.
Yeah,
can't believe you've answered it already, but you know,
we always know the answer, but we have to ask it, you know. A couple bits more in the chat. Lars, speaking of, Lars says, you guys got me distracted with super massive. I'm glad we've converted him. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm very glad. Survey Channel says social media era and building a plugin. let's see what else we've got. Choir sounds are begging for distortion effects. And what else have we got? In that case, Survey Channel says, in that case, I can finally finish my trap album. Yeah, there you go.
You're welcome. Okay,
thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing that, Survey Channel. That'd be very good.
I would say, you know, it's at the right price point and it's niche. And in my head, you know, being niche is always a good idea. I like things that are odd and have a specific purpose and are perhaps a little bit weird.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. Let's see. FCC says, even my singing would sound good with Supermassive and I'm not allowed to sing in the house. There you go. Next album, right? All FCC vocals drowned in Supermassive. But speaking of albums and music creation, we've got a lot to talk about with Ableton. So maybe we should get right into that, because we talked when they announced it. And I know Mike in the chat had the beta and I think talked about it in the Discord, but now it's out. And I think neither of you got Ableton 12, correct? Ian, like you didn't get it yet or didn't get it so far. And Curtis, you haven't gotten it yet, right?
No.
Not yet. No. Okay. Oh, Mike is very happy about the notion of us moving across to Ableton.
Who needs free plugins when you've got Ableton, right, I guess?
Exactly. It has been dropped. It has dropped. It has been dropped. It has dropped. I don't really know how we would say that. But yes, Ableton 12 has... It is out. You can get it. You can grab it. I'm going to bring up the screen so we can see. And it is there. And for if you already have Ableton, I'm just going to bring up the pricing straight away. If you don't have Ableton, it's for the full suite, it's €600, which is where you get everything in there. I think the upgrade price is €199 for that regard. And obviously, you have your derivatives as well, your intro and your standard. But I mean, might as well just go big or go home, bro. You know, you get everything new with it, for example. So updated for 12. You've got the Live Core Library modulation. We'll go through it in more detail, but we have a lot of this, and this is what you can buy it for right now. I'll leave that up there while I go through it. Before I go through and list everything, is there anything that you guys want to say? Because this will take a second.
No, there's a lot. Let's just get through it. You don't have all to right. read all of it. We could do, what are your like top 10 or something? And then we can just guide everyone to where to go for the full list. There's a lot that they've added.
That's pretty cool. While I'm doing this, if anyone such as Mike Smith, for example, want to put in what they're really vibing with in Ableton 12, let us know, because they've used it. We are bringing this as a PSA. I haven't actually got it myself yet, but we'll go with that. We'll get into that in a moment. What got me first and foremost was the tuning systems. For the first time in Ableton, you can see that they are not using the 12, they're not just limiting themselves to 12 tone equal temperament. You can now get scales from the eastern side of the world, for example, over in, they had a few Japanese scales beforehand, but they've expanded that a bit more, as well as that you've got some Indian scales in there as well, which is really nice to see. They've got new synthesizers in there, Meld, which is a 12 voice synthesizer, and Raw, which is a distortion saturation plugin, if I'm not mistaken, which looks quite nice. And because it's stock, there's zero latency, which is really fun in that regard. The MIDI editor improvements is another big one for me. The way that you key in MIDI and look to split MIDI into multiple pieces adds to workflow that looks really quick. And I have been going back through 11, clicking MIDI in and going, yeah, it would be good to have this in that regard. As well as that, I like the idea of the new search engine function. So the stacked views, you can have a look at and do search engines a lot quicker. You've got drop down menus a lot quicker. Everything's categorized in a more intuitive way, which can allow for workflow. So for me, I'm going for 10. Those are my big three. Let's start with that, because I've been chatting for a while. I want to see what people are thinking.
Lost audio, Sam Whooper.
Audio. Your audio
I'm muted, aren't I? Yeah, sorry about that. Hey. Chat's going crazy, and I love to see the difference in opinions here, because we know Mike is a huge fan. He's been on the beta and all that. Yep. He loves it. So I'm going to read a bit about what Mike says, because he's got some opinions on a couple of things like Curtis was doing. So he said, well, first of all, sorry, I missed this one. Get Sweet. So that's his recommendation, which I think was like $600 or something, which... Lars says, bro, what are these prices? Continuing on, though, from Mike, he says, Meld is a powerhouse synth with a huge number of synth engines. Roar is saturation, is a saturation and distortion effect that can do polite, but can also do balls out destroy. That's always fun. Let's see what else we've got. Oh, I saw something that I thought was cool. Before I read the rest of the comments, I think you had in there that there's a like a search engine. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, similar sample swapping, or no, sound similarity search. Use advanced algorithms to find comparable sounds and presets based on a starting sample. That's pretty cool. I like that. You know, we always talk samples and things like that, but we talked about, I think a while before, it might have even been Smiling Ears, about using AI to kind of be like, or maybe it was Eon, like, but if you have this type of kick, like, you know, get those sounds to mix that complement it. I mean, I like to use what I find it, but it'd be cool to have that kind of like, find similar sounding snares or complementary snares and things like that. FCC says, yawn, not Ableton again. This is what I'm talking about. There's, whenever we bring up Ableton, there's people that just absolutely love it, and then there's people that don't use it or don't like it and stuff. But I love to see that. I love to see that. FCC for Saturation, I think, is saying, I'm still using my 4-track cassette.
Yeah. Hey, Lars says, target audience.
Yeah, Lars says, Tascam all the way, baby. That's what I have, way up there. I got to set it back up at some point. Also, Mike added, the filter browser is the one thing that chafes my biscuits. Why is that, Mike? Curious. And Mike is defending the price here for Lars. $600 for complete studio, synth sequencers, sound packs, LFOs. How much would a similar DAW setup, your rack setup, cost? I think, though, in comparing other DAWs, you're looking at some disparity in price, because Logic, which can do a lot of similar things and stuff like that, is, I think, $200, and every update's covered. So there's things to consider. The live aspect is nowhere near as good, though, as Ableton. But yeah, differences in price and things like that. You know, I think comparing DAW-less setups to what a DAW offers is kind of apples to oranges, but DAW to DAW, I think, is a better comparison. Yeah. Yeah, I see Mike Logic. I don't know, man. I don't know. Everybody's got their preferred ones. I could go with Ableton. Here we go. Yeah, Cubase. I don't actually know the price of Cubase Smiling Ears, but if you do, Lars says NI Machine is better. And let's see. Survey Channel says, I paid half for Suite a few months ago and got the 12 upgrade for free during the sale. Nicely done. Oh, and Pat, wow. Good point, Pat. Don't forget to include the price of the computer. Yeah. Interesting bit too. But yeah, that's what I love in the chat, just hearing all the different opinions and stuff. And like, Lars goes old school Audacity, y'all. Now he's using AI too to get all that AI goodness from Audacity that we covered a couple weeks ago. But yeah, Ian, like, what's your take as an...
Well, life's never been cheap, has it? I've been deliberately sticking my fingers in my ears and ignoring what's in it because I don't want to buy it yet. I will upgrade at some point, but I'm not desperate to at the moment. And also, my studio iMac's getting a bit long in the tooth. I'm not sure if it meets the requirements now, which might be a benefit for me. My MacBook probably will, but I like to keep them compatible so I can bounce projects between them. I don't know. It is a reasonable amount of money. I did check my upgrade price, and it's not too much, but...
What is your upgrade price? And is it different depending on, like, how many upgrades you've done with Ableton? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's probably the same for anyone. If you own Suite already, then, you know, your upgrade prices are relatively low. But even so, it's like a couple of hundred quid, and I don't... In theory, there are a lot of benefits, and there are some really good soft instruments. But the fact of the matter is, there's always something good about the new version. But the thing I'm telling myself increasingly these days is, you don't need more stuff. You need to do more music. That's essentially, I need to keep reminding myself that what actually makes me happy is actually making music with the things that I do have, rather than forever looking after the slightly better, new and improved. So I'm consciously trying to resist things like this until there's a need for it. And then I can just enjoy the whole world of updates and so on that I can enjoy when I do. So I'm not desperate to. I know that the next version will also have a few things. I mean, the version that I'm on now, the big change was being able to have VC in and out, and being able to record control information and stuff like that for Eurorack if you've got a compatible interface and things like that, which is pretty huge. But I've not used it at all yet, so... There are a lot of benefits, you know, but, you know, it's a pretty good tool as it is already. as are other doors. So I don't know. I think it's good news if you're in the market and they've just brought out a new one. But if you've already got, you know, the version before, I don't know. It, you know, you can make your own choice as to whether it's a good use of money. But in these tough times we're in, I'm counting every penny and thinking it's not urgent.
I hear you, though. Mike is firing some shots at you, but I'll address the other con. He says this version I found out was when they introduced MIDI.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Server Channel says Eon Link knows what's up, and this was Curtis says always does, but it's true. I just wanted to emphasize that. And FCC says yes, Eon Link, more music, less stuff. I agree. As a non-Ableton user, though, I do just want to mention, I think all of the additions, like you were saying, Eon, like for someone who would be getting into this new, all of the additions added in this one, I'm just scrolling through. We have 2 pages worth of updates, or 1.5 pages of updates of what they've added and things. And I mean, not all of it is really necessary for music making per se, depending on genre, like micro tunings and things like that. But yeah. I think it's awesome, all of these additions. And then of course you have like Max for Live as well, which is really cool. So I get it. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. So I could see, I mean, the price still is where I kind of get thrown. But I think, Eon, like you said, there's like, if you get certain gear, or sometimes people will get gear that has offers for like Ableton Lite, which then can get the suite, or like you can get the upgrade path or something. So there are ways, I guess, to lower the price depending on like who you know or what you have. If people have extra, what's it called, like lights or whatever lying around. So yeah, it's something to consider, but I think it's really cool what they added. I love seeing when DAWs add all these updates, because it's good to just keep seeing these DAWs grow. Like Logic had a massive update a couple months ago with AI mastering, which we're going to cover, I think, in 2 weeks. We're going to compare Lander and Logic AI mastering. Yeah, 2 weeks. Thanks, Curtis. But a lot of times you get some really cool things coming from it. So I just love to see these updates. And yeah, the one from Logic, though, added a lot, and every one they've done for, I think, 10 years has been free, which is why I always like Logic there. But, I mean, when it comes to live performance, especially, hold on, Eon Link, when it comes to live
performance...
Oh, I might have froze. Did I freeze there?
Little bit,
I'm not sure if I froze, but I don't think any DAW will beat Ableton there in that regard in the live performance, so... Yeah, it really just depends on what your needs are and figuring it out, and then what DAW kind of works for you, like in terms of its workflow and things like that. Eon, like what do you have to say, my friend?
I noticed that they've introduced pay in installments now for the right. Yeah, so my upgrade price, because I'm a suite owner, I could upgrade for £180, but you can pay it in 3 installments if you want.
Interesting.
It is slightly helpful, I think, but you know, £180 is £180 still.
Still out your account, isn't it?
Yeah, that money is still gone.
Yes. No matter how you dress it up, you still don't have it.
Take it away a bit.
It's no more, yeah. Very true. Well, Curtis, anything you want to add? I know you already went through your top three, but I'm curious if there's anything. Are you planning to get this one, Curtis? I know Eon like said he's going to wait, but I'm curious, Curtis.
I can't justify it on my own. £200 is a lot. £180 is a lot. And for that price, I could buy something else, like food, for example. it is tough times. It is trying times. It's not to say that if it wasn't, for example, like I say, if I was at work and it was offered to me at work and I could upgrade it at work, I would obviously take it. I can't myself. I just can't justify the €200 increase. It doesn't mean that I don't think it's not a really good update. And I don't think it's, obviously we had a bit of, you're always going to have a bit of door wars. Everyone's always going to come in with door their wars. Kind of dip, you know. Yeah, exactly. Everyone, you're always going to have that. And that's great. It's fine. You know, even in music production, where we're all about community, people have their stuff, and that's fine. My point is, I think this is really good, because what this does for Ableton is it kind of brings it back to adore. Now, I understand that that sounds counterintuitive, but stick with me on this one, right? Mm. Ableton Live has always been really good for live production. It's always been really the go-to DAW for, you know, creating live music and live installments, right? And while it's really good for the production stuff, it's not as intuitive for the production stuff. And that might just be me. Maybe I'm projecting here, but that's how I feel. I feel like it's not as good as like the, at the classic, you know, DAW sitting down in arrangement view, for example, right? But these updates, the search functions and the live creation of that, the search functions, the MIDI, the switching, the different tonalities, etc., the sample matching, this allows for live production on the fly of improvisation, if that makes sense, which I feel is a really good way to bring it up to speed with things like FL Studios and Logic in that regard. That's just my take on it. And I think that's, while all DAWs are coming over here and Ableton's kind of an outlier, it kind of brings it a bit more to the middle and allows it to do both more effectively in that regard.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I mean, that was always my issue with Ableton, was the workflow for production never gelled with me. But when I used it for live performances, it was the best thing ever. And nothing compares in terms of that. But yeah, it's good to see these things. And it seems like getting a little more parity in that regard. Yeah. And even Mike says, I agree with that point, Curtis. Wow. Was not expecting that. I thought a long paragraph was coming about, well, actually, here's how this is. But yeah, all right. Interesting. A couple other bits. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on the last couple of weeks with my internet. So if I keep dropping out, I apologize. I lost Curtis a few times when he was talking, but I think I got the general of what you were saying there. But Ross says, DAW updates with huge additions suit existing users. Small iterations are more manageable for noobs. Yes. The only thing I would say in terms of playing devil's advocate is someone who's a noob that's buying it for the first time wouldn't know that those are huge additions. It just comes with this new DAW you bought. But yeah, I see the more things they add and stuff like that, the more daunting I think it would be to learn something. So not disagreeing with you, just an interesting thought there. Lars says, pay in installments, DAWs are like car loans now. I was going to ask you on like, is there, hopefully not, and probably not, but is there a difference in price if you pay monthly? Like, is it slightly, you know, if you do the math, is it like a couple bucks more or something?
Well, Ableton's just paying three and it's the same amount.
Okay, yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, I did have a look at Cubase Pro because somebody mentioned it, and that's $17 a month for 34 months. And that seems to be the only option.
34 months.
I always remember it as being quite expensive, Cubase. I used to use it years ago.
I've never used it. I remember in college, somebody was like, I use Cubase, and I never looked it up. But yeah, there's a lot of DAWs. I've always wanted to check out Reaper, but never have. But
I couldn't get the hang of it.
I think Survey Channel used that for a long time, but now I believe he's switching or testing out the waters of Ableton. So yeah. And Spying Error said, do you get all, I think, the Ableton up front, or do you have to wait till those bills are paid in full? I'm assuming you get it up front and pay it, but Lars says, no, they just repo your Ableton. Yeah. Pat also adds, I wonder if Ableton are having financial difficulties. Their Black Friday sale lasted until March 5th, and now Eon Lake informs us of payments in installments. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks like Mark was saying jamming towards production. He meant with agreeing with Curtis. So there you go. Lars says, I still use Reaper. Interesting. I didn't know. I thought you used something else, Lars, but I can't think right now. So
priced.
Yeah, because isn't Reaper 60, but you can get it technically for free or something? Like, can download it, but then you're asked to pay or something. I don't know. I've always wanted to check it out, though. Reaper seems pretty cool.
But it's better for audio, I think, from what I gather. But yeah. It's not one of these tools that has a load of soft synths that come with it and so on. It's you could,
but it is also like $60, so
exactly, yeah.
There's a metal guy that kind of pops up on my YouTube every so often. Long hair, he's an old metal producer. He's an old school recordist, and he swears by Reaper. And I think that's because he's mainly in the studio and he's mainly pushing audio, and he does very, he doesn't do much to hardware and stuff. So that would make sense in that regard.
It's a very metal name as well.
Reaper, yeah. And Survey Channel clarified, love Reaper, I keep using it. Okay, perfect. Yeah. I remember you had bought Ableton, and like you said in the chat here, you bought it, so I couldn't remember if you switched or if you were just, you know, seeing what else is out there.
Yeah. I think it's fair. These things are, I mean, a lot of these are getting more expensive and they're coming through and becoming little things to do. But I think that's fair. I think, you know, if it is the brain of your production, you know, sometimes you can justify it. It is a musical instrument in that regard. And while I'm not going to pay the €200 just yet, it doesn't mean I don't think it's worth the money, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
One of these days might get sponsored and then Ableton will just give it to me. You never know.
Who knows, man? Mike says, did I share the right one? Yeah. Love Ableton. It just gels with how my brain works and the effects and instruments do what I want them to do. Yeah, definitely. The thing that, like, it doesn't gel with me typically. So that's why I stick to the other DAWs. But it's not like one DAW is better than the others. It's like you said, Mike, at least in my opinion, like whatever works for you is the best one. And then whatever synths, like I like the synths mostly in Reason, but then I like Logic for making of the music. So I kind of have both, but yeah, boy, Curtis looks like he really wants to say something. Can I just read these comments or
go for it, bro. That's just Lars, my idea. Go for it.
Oh, I know. Lars says, apparently Reaper was designed by the same guy who created the original Winamp. Nice. Oh. Mike says, I should be bloody sponsored by Ableton. Yeah, with how you sing their praises so much. Definitely. You should hit him up. Pat says that's true for Lars. And Survey Channel says that's why it rules, Lars. So there we go. All right, Curtis. What was so important for you to say? I bet it's like a nothing, isn't it?
I wanted to come back to who said it? Hang on, let me scroll up a little bit. I wanted to come back to Pat Brady. I wonder if Ableton are having financial difficulties. Right, yeah, their Black Friday sale lasted until March 5th, and now you're like, et cetera, et cetera. There might be something in that. There might be something in that because Ableton 12 has got, as I want to come back to it, one of the things is they've got the scalers, which are there for the go beyond the 12 tone equal temperament, which is obviously historically a Western scaling. But now this scaling system, these new scaling systems open up to over a billion people who can now produce music of a non-traditional Western way. And that is a big market that they've just opened to. And that's really interesting. That's a really interesting move. Not just now, is that a more viable option for countries like India, for example, but also Western producers, such as everyone here, I believe, you know, that allows us to explore that 12-tone equal temperament. And I don't know any DAW which is so open to that notion, not open, but so that's so readily available. The notion that, you know, some 13-year-old French guy, for example, can just go and start studying the ragas, for example, if we're going heading back and doing a full circle back to the Sir Drone synth, can go back and actually study the sounds and study the scales. That opens it up to a much wider range of education, which is really cool and really interesting, and decentralizes everything from the homogenization of Western music in that regard. That really excites me. That's all I wanted to say. Sorry.
If nothing else, too, and hopefully they're not having financial issues, but the fact that it's become accessible to that type of like production workflow and things like that is just awesome in its own right. And I hope we see all DAWs follow suit that haven't already. But yeah, I think it's really cool. And I hope we don't see more and more subscriptions, you know, like don't own these things, just subscribe. Remember like Waves was trying to do last year and they had to go backtrack and say, no, you can do the subscribe or you can buy outright and stuff. But I understand, like we always talk about, I understand it from a business standpoint, having a recurring and stable income is much better than, oh, once a year we update and some people will buy it and this and that. But yeah, we don't need that. That's so consumer unfriendly. So, and I'm not saying they're doing that. I'm just saying I hope we don't see more of this rise in the production realm and things of these, like, you know, subscription service versions of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I mean, the I hope that we don't see to continue to move past that or to that point, I should say. One of these days, it would be nice for everything to go the same way as FL Studio. You buy it once and you get free updates forever. Smiling Errors put it, they've just released a new chord generator in their new update. And anyone who's got FL Studio, the producer's version, just gets that like that. And that's cool. And I
Logic
would like
to see more of that.
Is that Logic as well?
That's, okay, I say it cool. every time, man. Yes, you've got to listen. Yes. Yeah, Logic.
I can verify this.
Yeah, Logic is too. So they have added like the numerical updates, like Logic X, because there was Logic 9 before it or whatever and all that stuff. Those I think you had to pay for, but Logic X came out in 2013. We looked it up a while ago, 2012, 2013 or something like that. And every update they've done since then has been free. And they've added since, they've added whole workflow types. They added this like live looping thing that tried to compete with Ableton, but is nowhere nearly as good at it. They've added the AI mastering, which, you know, whatever, but they add all this stuff and it's all been under that same 200 Logic X price. So yeah. And if FL does that too, that's awesome. It's really good to see. Pat says tunings is definitely more accessible, but 599, not so much. And yes, that's very true.
It's true. So yeah. So, you know, everything's balanced.
Yeah.
Any final words on Ableton, Eon Lake, before we transition?
No. Enough.
He's done.
I'm done. I was slightly interested in what Mike said about the interview with Gerhard Bailey's, is that his name? Yeah. Saying that they're against venture capitalists. That sort of thing does kind of interest me, because over the as the guys like to point out, I've been around a while, and you know, over the years there have been instances of doors, you know, getting quite good and then falling on their ass and dying, and others taking over. I mean, Ableton wasn't always there. And when I get a tool that I do really like and I rely on a lot, I do worry that some idiot is going to buy it, you know, and wreck it, a bit like Twitter, you know, just destroy it for everyone. It's always a risk, isn't it? And it's kind of nice to know when people are more focused on the art and the product than the golden dollar signs.
Yeah. Very much so. Well, I think we've exhausted it about Ableton, but if you have anything you want to add about Ableton, head to the Discord. The link should be in the description, but if it's not, it'll be there at the end. It is? Or what?
No, I was saying you're Ableton exhausted, aren't you? Come on, we've given him a good run.
We've talked about it for like 30 minutes. That's as much Ableton as I need for another month or two. I meant we exhausted the topic of the update for those of us that don't have it.
We'll set up a channel on Discord to talk about it.
I'll still be there, but I'm just saying, if you want to talk about more about Ableton, head there, because we're wrapping up is what I'm getting at. But I do appreciate Mike being in the chat as someone that has it and has had it for quite a while with the beta and stuff. It's nice to hear from someone who has it. So Mike, if you have any other opinions on it or other stuff you want to bring up about Ableton, just put it in the Discord, because it's interesting to hear. I mean, I am eyeing Ableton for live performance type stuff, but I don't know if I'd ever move to it for production. But I love seeing these updates bring more and more of this like stuff parody for what I would need for it. So it's nice to see. But let's go to the last topic at hand. And Eon, like, what are you up to this week?
What am I up to this week? I'm droning. It seems to be no matter what I do, I end up making drones at the moment. I don't know why. But I'm not going to complain about it. A couple of other things that I have been doing and that I will be doing more of is getting the OP1 and the OPZ and plugging them into my iPad and inserting koala effects on the iPad.
Ooh. And
mangling loops out of those.
The lo-fi one, the warble one?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, I love
the
that
filters
one.
And the compressor as well. The compressor goes on everything.
Compressor goes hard on that thing, and the drive is gritty.
And I'm going to sample that and mess around with that. Between that and Eurorack, I'm messing around with my cables and stuff again after giving it a massive haircut and starting all over again. So I'm using some of that too, and that's how I'm going to while away what little free time I get these days. It's how I like to do it.
There you go. And Curtis, what about you? What are you up to?
I'm back in Ableton, and I am making stuff specifically that are sticking to only 8 channels, and I'm trying.
Is that 8 channels that are bus channels, so you can put as many tracks as you want in those 8? Is that your little workaround there?
28 channels feeding into 8 buses.
No, I hear the banter, and you're fair enough. But no, on this occasion, I'm not allowed to bus. They must be channels, and they are all the same, right? So it's only the 8. And they're always the same. So drums, etc., blah, 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 blah. But it's all for the drum rack, for example, must only have 16. And that must include things like filter sweeps and cymbals and effects and stuff like that. And so it's all, I'm doing it as part of the MIDI role, as opposed to creating layers and layers and layers of loops. I'm trying to condense that down, because I want to be able to have this tabletop. It's all sample based as well. So the idea is that I've got this like this big bank of samples, and the idea is that I can trigger them live and I can manipulate them live. And you've got this like kind of like chill lo-fi kind of, you know, just, oh, we'll see what happens with the bass. And then, oh, let's put in that vocal, that kind of thing. And they all kind of work together in that sense. So it's a facilitation for an extended live set, triggering loops for nothing special other than like a little Sunday afternoon cafe kind of vibe. So that's what I'm kind of chilling with right now, as they say. It should be fun. Again, I echo Eon Lake in this regard. The little free time that I have to get stuff done. Everyone is squeezing. Everyone is squeezing time, which brings me nicely to Sunwhopper. What are you doing, bro?
Trying to survive, man. It's been a couple days of no sleep, no time whatsoever for music or anything like that. But what I am trying to do when I get some sleep and get some time is I'm working on a new live set that's the full Dawless setup, because the DigiTac can send all the video. It's going to be a small live set, like 4 or 5 songs, just testing out to see if this works. Because what my plan is, use the DigiTac for the sequencing and sample stuff, and then triggering the SP for long samples. But then the circuit is going to be my live looper, so I can perform on top of it and loop the MIDI, like, because I control all of, hold on, these two are controlled by the circuit, so I have 4 synths that I can like live loop, because I can just hit record on the circuit because it's synced BPM wise and playing with the DigiTac, and then I can just play, and it'll, if I mess up, I can delete it and restart, or not restart, but I can delete it, audio I can loop. Delete it and just do it again. Sorry, Jan, like, say again.
You mean MIDI loop rather than audio loop?
Well, yeah, it's live loop. I didn't say audio loop. I just said live loop.
Oh, that's great. No, that gives me all sorts of ideas.
Well, yeah, it's MIDI looping. Yeah. I made a video, but it's not the one coming out. I have no video coming out this week because life was crazy. I have a video coming out next week talking about finishing a Dawless loop by like putting it into the computer and adding MIDI on top of it and then mastering it. And I show like my mastering chain and stuff. But the week after that, I'm going to talk about this live setup. And I show like how I do the live looping and stuff. So it'll be there. But I saw Pat, I think this was in question to me, said DigiTac not in production anymore, because I was mentioning Ableton Live. Sorry if it's not, but this, I mean, I'm the main one that uses the DigiTac here, but it is obviously still in it. I'm just looking to try and do like some overbridge type stuff. And I'm just thinking it'd be nice to have some DAW flexibility at some point as another means of doing a live performance with like less and less gear. But I like the Dawless setup for making the music I want to make, and then DAW for commissioned work and ambient stuff and things like that. But yeah, so I don't have much this week going on, but a lot in the coming weeks, if I can get some sleep. So we'll see. But yeah, I just want to go back to that, because you were saying you were getting ideas, Ian, like that whole idea of the live MIDI looping is really cool. And it's nice because the circuit is just synced with the MIDI hub. Mm. I'm not going to say MIDI merge, Curtis, but the MIDI hub. I have the Digitalk sending just signal to the circuit as in like tempo sync. And so the circuit, I can just perform on it and record it, and it has a quantize. And so it just, so it goes, oh no, Pat said the Digitalk is out of production according to Reddit. That's heartbreaking if true. I'm glad I bought one right before it went out. That's terrible. I'm glad you said that. Oh, possible Mark II coming. Interesting. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's been a long time that it's been out, so that makes sense.
Yeah, Reddit is saying that there's going to be one. There's going to be a Mark II. I mean, if Reddit says it, it's going to be a thing.
It's got to be true, then. Yeah, of course. So, but yeah, so not, we'll see. I doubt they would, because Lars says supposedly that they're doing the Mark II, but the Digitalk is a very popular sampler. So and it's been out for a very long time, which is a bummer for me because I just got it like less than a year ago, but we'll see what happens.
Doesn't stop being good.
No, that's true. But I wonder if there is a Mark II, I wonder what they'll add, because there's a lot that I would love to see.
It's interesting, isn't it? Okay, just sorry to interrupt, but it's interesting, right? So the Notion live on air, we have found out that Digitalk has gone out of production, and we've gone straight to, I wonder what Mark II will have. And it's just that
there's Mark II.
there's that gear acquisition syndrome, isn't it? It's instantly something. Ooh, maybe on what this will happen. We go straight for it. It's
I'm not thinking so much as buying it. I'm thinking as like, what would they upgrade? Because there are a lot of limitations to that machine, and so seeing what they would update. It's been out, I think, for 6 or 7 years. So seeing what possibilities they could add. Like you look at the original SP404 SX, not even the OG, but the SX came out years and years ago. And then the Mark II came out. I want to say the Mark II was out like 7, 8, 10 years after the SX, something like that. And it added a ton of stuff, longer sampling time, I believe, but all those effects, the bus effects, all kinds of things that they added. So just curious, like what, given all this time and the time limitations in sampling, I wonder if there'll be stereo sampling because everything's mono and all that. It's just interesting that the ideas of like we talked about the possibilities when you think about this stuff, like the theoretical, like, oh, it could be this and this, and then you see what actually it is, and maybe it doesn't
meet expectations. If they addressed all the limitations of that, it would kind of make some of their other products set obsolete, and it would also mean that you wouldn't really need a lot else to play.
That's quite true.
Do on it would be mental. I mean, if you had a few more tracks maybe, and you had stereo capability and a load more space, maybe streaming from disc, stuff like that, what else would you need? Not so much.
It's interesting, yeah, because it's kind of like the way they've designed the three of that trinity of Syntact, Digitone, and Digitalk. It's like, to really get the most out of them, if that's what you're going for, Dawless, you kind of need like each of them, or at least like the tone and the tact. So I see what you mean, Ian. Like if it were to add more and more of these things, would those be rendered like less important?
Yeah, certainly a lot of more sampling capability in stereo would make the Octatrack look less appealing.
That's true. And the Octatrack is more expensive, would be awesome. Right?
Yeah,
it would be awesome, yeah. It would be. That's a shame. If that really is out of production, that's a shame. If there is a new version, that's awesome. But I can't imagine it would go. I mean, that's such a popular piece of gear from them.
You'll be seeing them for many years yet.
Yeah.
It won't be going anywhere. It would render them obsolete. And we are now hypothesizing on a hypothesis, and I love that. I think that's great.
That's the purpose of live, right?
Yeah. You know. We probably should retreat back to the Discord with that speculation.
Yeah. Well, we're done anyways. This was just that's interesting news. I'm glad was it Pat that brought it up? I think it was Pat. Sorry, Pat. I'm glad you brought that up. We'll see what happens. But if you want to keep talking about this or Ableton or whatever have you, head to the Discord. And we'll see you there. We'll be back next week. We've got FCC, Frequency Control Center, to talk I saw both of your cats jumped on that chair, but FCC will be talking about synth production in a DAW, but getting it to sound more, you know, tape worn, like a cassette tape, all that type of stuff. But if you have questions, post them in the patron chat. You can head to patreon.com/audionautic if you want to join and help support the show. And we will be back next week. Ian, like, is there anything you want to add before we go?
Well, if you don't have any questions for FCC, go and listen to his stuff on Bandcamp and come back with some questions.
Yeah, there you go. It's really good. 4-track EP. I think it's about 25 minutes, so perfect to just take a chill minute and just kick back, listen to some really nice synths and things like that, ambient type stuff. Curtis, anything you want to add before we go?
No, it's just been lovely. Thank you ever so much for people coming in, especially in the wibbly wobbly time. And so many of you have just started from when we started and you're here at the very end. And that is, it warms my heart. So thank
you.
That
brings up an interesting question. That brings up an interesting question. I'm curious to hear, at least for all of our friends in America, was this time better for you or was the usual time better? I'm not saying we're changing. I'm just very curious because this is just a weird. So we went, instead of at 11 a.m. Pacific, we went at 12. But for everyone in the UK, I believe, yeah, UK, because Ian, like, and Europe, it hasn't changed time zone. So I'm just curious, post it here before we go or in the comments or on the Discord. But I'm curious if this time worked better for you or if it was a bit of a stretch. But yeah, not saying we're changing. I'm just curious to hear. But with that, we'll see you next week, the same time as today. So that was 12 Pacific and I think 7 UTC, correct, Curtis?
Yes, 12 Pacific, 7 p.m. UTC.
Perfect. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.